This is a service recording of the Unitarian Universalist Society of Oneonta, New York.
Our readings today consist of a number of poems by Richard Seymour from his collection, My Thoughts on the Tao. The first is Understanding. People may commit monstrous acts, but they are not monsters. They are human, as are we. What exists within them exists within us too. This is why they are dismissed as evil, to distance us from them. This must be understood before they are understood. Punishment alone does not prevent. Understanding must come first. The strength of weakness. Be wary of the very strong, and they shall become weak. Be dismissed as being weak, and that shall be your strength. Remember that the oceans place themselves below land, but all rivers flow into them. And remember, too, that water, the most pliant of substances, has shaped continents. Duality. There can be no good without evil. So that, we say, is that. Does it follow that there can be no evil without good? No sadness without happiness? No hate without love? No dark without light? No despair without hope? No wrong without right? No yin without yang? Must we forego positives to extinguish all negatives? To do without effort? To want without attachment? To live without dying? Finally, I am. I am not this. I am not that. I am. My favorite religious symbol is actually hanging right over there. No great surprise. But if we forego that one and look at the rest of the religious symbols that are out there, my favorite one is from the Taoist tradition, the yin and yang symbol. I think by this time, almost everybody knows what the yin yang symbol looks like, right? I didn't bring a copy of it. It's a circle, and then the circle is divided with a curvy line in such a way that both sides are exactly the same, just reversed. It's usually black and white, although I've seen it in red and black and things like that. And a lot of people like that symbol, but often they will forget the most important part of the symbol to me, is that in each section is a dot of the opposite color, perfectly symmetrical. Now, the meaning of the symbol, depending on who you ask, and Taoists have lots of answers for this, but the biggest one that they will tell you is that it's about the importance of balance, or that the universe is always in balance, hence the two sides in perfect symmetry. They also will tell you that everything has its opposite. Everything has an opposed piece to it. And it's important to realize with this that opposites are not necessarily bad. We tend to fall into that false dichotomy sometimes when you talk about evil versus good, light versus dark. All of a sudden you've put dark with evil. That's not necessarily the case. It's just different. It's just opposite. But the other part is that all things carry the opposite within them. That's that little dot. Nothing is wholly one thing. That circle within, that's the important part to me of the Taoist symbol. And it's really important that we recognize that opposite piece that is carried, not only within ourselves, but within others. The poet wrote, "What exists within them exists within us too." We tend to want to distance ourselves from other people. We tend to want to label people as that. They are that. That's an arrogant person over there. That person is being a jerk. And we have that too. We're carrying that. And as much as we might think that they're an arrogant person, there's another piece they're carrying within that, which is the opposite of arrogance. And understanding what that is and accepting it and having some compassion for it, that's a spiritual practice. That's a part of Taoism. It's a part of our spiritual practice too. I think this recognition of that inner peace, both in somebody else and in yourself, that's where humility comes from. That's where honesty comes from. Now, it is important to recognize and be proud of your strengths. But if you don't recognize it, you also have the weaknesses to go with it. That's where arrogance comes from. And if you don't face your weaknesses, or the opposites, or that ugliness, that shadow side, if you will, if you ignore it, that's where the true power of it comes in. That's where the true damage can be done. Now, we as Unitarian Universalists, as a liberal religion, we tend to focus on the positive. We tend to focus on the strengths. We tend to focus on the inherent worth and dignity of all human beings. And these are all very good things. But it makes it harder for us to then talk about, well, whether or not evil exists, whether or not sin exists. And quite frankly, if there are some things about people, even though they have inherent worth and dignity, that aren't quite up to snuff, maybe. Just mentioning that, I can see people go, whoa. Pema Chodron has a different take on this that might be a little bit helpful. In her book, now Pema Chodron, for those who don't know, is a Buddhist nun, very popular author. She's written some great books about pain and grief and basically some of the darker parts of living that we don't like to face very well. And in the book, The Places That Scare You, she holds up the concept of far enemies and near enemies. Now, I don't really like the enemies part. So I'm going to rephrase it as opposites. The far opposite and the near opposite. So let's talk about the difference between those. The far opposites are the ones that are easy. They're the strike, you know, that's that certainly that black versus white part. It's very simple. If you talk to any five-year-old and ask about opposites, they can tell you. What's the opposite of happy? Sad. Right, okay. What's the opposite of pride? Humility or shame, depending on which way you go with it. Either way works. Opposite of compassion. It's a tougher one. Hard-heartedness, callousness, maybe. Cold. Yeah. Opposite of strength is weak. Just weakness. Okay. Those are easy ones. Those are what she refers to as the far opposites, the far enemies. The near enemies are not really opposites at all. They are distortions of your strength. They're if this were the Star Trek universe, they would be the ones with the mustache. They're the evil twin. So the near enemy of pride is arrogance. The near enemy of compassion is pity, condescension. That's compassion distorted into a way that's no longer helpful. The near enemy of strength is bullying. Or you could also say that fierce independence that convinces you you can stand alone against all things. The opposites are very easy to identify. The shadows, the near weaknesses, the near enemies, as she calls them, those shadows are hard to identify. They're hard to see. And they're so, seductive. In Wendell Berry's poem, To Know the Dark, he writes, "To go in the dark with the light is to know the light. To know the dark, go dark. Go without sight. And find that the dark, too, blooms and sings and is traveled by dark feet and dark wings. Ursula Gwynn, and I put this in the order of service rites, to light a candle is to cast a shadow. The point of this is that we all have our strengths, and that is a great place to start, is to identify your strengths. And then the next step is, quite frankly, to see what the opposite of that strength is. That's simple. But then, figure out what that near enemy is. What's that near shadow? What's that little dot that you are carrying within your strength? And the way to do that is to turn away from the strength, look behind it, kind of look at it different, maybe look at it through a funhouse mirror, something, whatever works for you, to see what the distorted strength would be. Now let's start close. And I could pick one of you, but I've discovered that if you pick out other people's weaknesses, they don't appreciate that. I had actually considered doing it for other faith traditions, but I don't think that would have gone over well either. So I'm going to start with myself as an example, which is scary. So let's go with those. Personal strength. I am an extrovert. I can talk to anybody. The flip side of that would be shy or introverted, either way, depending on your point of view. I am not that. However, as an extrovert, the shadow side, the close enemy, is that, A, if I'm not careful, I can talk too damn much. And B, I can be overbearing. And not because I mean to be, but just because, like a puppy dog, I'm just so excited! I'm a very trusting person. I believe in people. The shadow side of that is, I am a gullible person sometimes. And I'm a vulnerable person sometimes. And there have been numerous times where somebody has said or done something to me that has been very hurtful. And I will go right back. And sometimes, Cheryl has described this as, I will go to her and pull the knife out of my chest and hand it to her. And she'll say, why? Why do you keep going back there? I said, well, I believe in them. She said, well, how many times do I have to stab you before you decide to not give them their knife back? I believe in people. Now, you are probably starting to think of a couple of your own. And it's a good habit to get into. I caution you against thinking about them for your spouse, your partner, or your children. That way lieth bad arguments. Okay? And not improvement. Nobody has ever improved because somebody else told them what was wrong with them. All right? So let's move out of the personal. Let's go to UUSO. Let's go to our faith community. Now, this has come up because yesterday the board had a retreat about long-range planning. And we had a member from the UUA, a staff person of congregational development, come in. And the first question she asked, she asked me what the strength of my ministry was, so I had to think about that. And then she asked, what is the strengths of this community? And every board member pretty much came up with the same things, and you're probably thinking of them yourself. I would say the strength of this community is its heart. There are loving people in this community. This community cares for one another and about one another. That is a great strength. And you might, you ask a fish to describe water. You might not know how special that is. You might not have been in churches where that wasn't the case. It is a phenomenal strength. I would also say one of the strengths is that this place is dedicated and committed. There are people here who will come every Sunday. They will step up to the plate whenever they're asked to do something. They care about this place and they will get involved. Again, not always true. Now, those are the bright lights that I came up with, and I could come up with more. What are the shadows of those bright lights? If you are caring, can you care too much? Is it possible to love too much? That's a tough one. But I would say that you can if your love for people prevents you from establishing boundaries. talk to a family with an addicted son or daughter. And the heartbreak of having to try and help that person by set boundaries when you love them so much. In our congregation, it doesn't manifest too often, but we do have a difficulty of recognizing where possibly we care too much. Maybe this person doesn't want our help quite yet. Maybe the person doesn't want us to share that particular joy and sorrow about them, but we're doing it out of love for them. I don't know. It's the only thing I can kind of think of. The dedicated one is a lot easier for me. What's the shadow side of the dedication in this place? Well, burnout. Burnout is one of them. And ownership. Overextended, burnout. Oh, yeah, you know that one. You guys got it. Yeah, that one's easier. So first off, for those people who don't pay attention, if you are really dedicated, you really love this place, if you never say no, you will burn out. We'll keep using you. And burning out turns people into tired, possibly bitter. The other one is ownership. If you really dedicated, you really care, you sometimes don't want to let go for somebody else to help. And this came up the first week I was visiting here. I was sitting in a room of people, older members of the congregation, and one of the first questions they asked is, how do we get younger people in the church to step up and do things and take responsibility for things? And I said, well, how many of you had somebody step up and suggest an idea and you went, no, that's not the way we do things here? And there was a lot of, oh no. That's the flip side. That's the weakness of dedication sometimes. And there are others. What about Unitarian Universalism as a whole, our faith? Because we're not just us. There's a bigger us. Well, one of our greatest strengths, I would say, is our diversity of beliefs, our lack of a creed. What's the flip side of that? What's the shadow side? Well, it could be. Too much different things. Yeah. Diffusion. That's very good. In other words, if you don't have a specific belief and you can draw from anywhere, do you actually go deep with any of it? Do you actually do the work to become a spiritual person, or do you say you're done? These are people who say we have no core beliefs and no values. That's not true. We do. But if we don't focus on them and we don't practice them, they don't mean anything. Another one is, I would say our greatest strength is that we are open to all. That inherent worth and dignity piece, very important to us. Flip side of that is our congregations have another very difficult time calling people on bad behavior. I cannot say that you are behaving badly without questioning your inherent worth and dignity. That's not true. Last year, we had 5 different incidents that came into UU Trauma Response about people who were making physical threats in their churches. Stalking, threatening the minister, threatening a board member. That's ridiculous behavior. That's like call the police kind of behavior. And these people were paralyzed by what to do about it because we can't kick them out. They're a member of the church. We can't tell them they're not loved. We can't tell them they're not worthwhile. And of course, they weren't going to do any of that. They just wanted to establish some boundaries. So everybody is welcome. Sometimes we take it too far. Some behaviors are not welcome. People are welcome. We also have a tendency to be radicals and rebels. That's part of our history. That's part of our identity. We will try to take the new path and we will stand up to authority. And what's the flip side shadow of that? We really don't like authority at all. We don't like structure. We refer to the UUA as the UUA when it's actually us. We elected them. They're us. But they're them. I'm remembering when Van Jones was at General Assembly and he gave a speech. And this was right before Barack Obama was being elected president. And he said, y'all don't know what's about to happen to you. You're about to win. You're about to be in charge. And you're so used to fighting the people in charge, when you get there, you're going to not know what to do. And you're going to fight amongst each other because you need somebody to fight with, and the people in charge are you. And damn it if he wasn't right. That's the flip side. Our country right now is also struggling. If you want to look at our country, the strength is we have a robust democracy. We have a firm system of checks and balances. And the flip side, the shadow side of the checks and balances is gridlock and partisanship. We can't get anything done right now. We have managed to check the powers of all of the different branches so much so that nothing is getting done. We have freedom in this country. We value freedom so much. It is one of our core principles. And yet there are people who will use freedom as a weapon or will be free from the responsibility. Because freedom comes with responsibility. That's part of it. And of course, there's the United States of America and our pride and our arrogance, which tends to manifest sometimes as us being a bully and trying to impose our will on others. These are the flip sides of our strengths. Now, we have to engage these shadows. We have to engage these things. The first step is to figure out what they are. Then you have to engage them. And remember that the opposites aren't really enemies. They just are opposites. It's those near things, those distortions of your strengths. Those are the dangerous ones. Those are the subtle ones. Those are the ones that if you're not paying attention will cause harm. And you can't eliminate them completely because they are tied to your strengths. But you have to know what they are. What's the Oracle of Delphi said? Know thyself. So you have to shed some light on those shadows. You have to look at yourself honestly and then look at your organization honestly and then look at your country honestly and then decide, okay, how do we work with our strengths and not let them become those other things? How do we not give in to those subtle, seductive pieces? Our country is struggling, and something needs to change. Our faith, Unitarian Universalism, has been in a constant state of identity crisis and confusion since they first merged, and I would argue even before that. And the people who are coming into our faith tradition nowadays predominantly are unchurched, wouldn't know what a Unitarian or a Universalist was, and don't care. And when you start talking about, well, I don't know, Unitarian, Universalist, what's our core values, they don't care about that either. So it's about time we stopped falling into that seduction of our identity and just identify. This is who we are and this is what our strength is. Our congregation, this congregation, is on the cusp of its next chapter. One of the things that we were looking at yesterday was a graph of how congregations start out and then they do some work and then they reach a stable point and then they reach for some goal and hit peak. And then they either succeed or fail. And then they either come up with a new plan to reach again or they start going down. I would argue we're at the stable part. We've been holding a pattern, and we're trying to figure out what that next reach is for. But the first question we have to ask is, what are our strengths? What is it we can actually do? Where can we actually make a difference in the world? Because if we try to do something that is not a part of who we are, we're going to fail. Or worse, we're going to be ineffective and irrelevant. So let's play to our strengths. But in playing to our strengths, let's not get seduced by the shadow sides. Let's not forget who we really are. What do we want to do? Where do we want to go? Let's start with who are we now? Really, honestly, who are we right now? Ultimately, our country and our faith and our church is just a collection of individuals, and each with their own strengths and their own weaknesses and their faults and their foibles and their gifts and their talents. And the first step to changing and to moving forward is to know who we are in our whole selves and accept them as our whole selves. I am not this. I am not that. I am. For good or for ill, I am. And so are you. And that's actually one of the core messages of our faith tradition. That's actually one of our strengths that we can play to. There are people out there who need to hear that message. There are probably people in here that need to hear it too. So the world needs us, and we need each other, and they need our whole best selves, as honestly as we can present it. That's why we're here.
Thank you for listening to this service recording of the Unitarian Universalist Society of Oneonta, New York. We are a welcoming congregation, accepting and affirming the lives of gay, lesbian, and bisexual people here among us. All members of the human family are welcome here. Our worship services take place every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. in our sanctuary, located at 12 Ford Avenue in Oneonta, New York. For more information about Unitarian Universalism and our congregation, please visit us in person or explore our website at www.uuso.org. This service is shared under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives, 4.0 International License.